Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm just Dylan.
I'm Dylan Reeve, also from the internet. I'm television's Dylan Reeve.
Not so much.
I'm suburban father of three, Dylan Reeve.
That's pretty accurate.
I'm, well, you're not a house husband, are you?
No.
I'm production guru, Dylan Reeve.
Okay.
I'm captain of industry, Dylan Reeve.
That's stretching it.
I'm playboy billionaire, Dylan Reeve.
No, that's CB Woodhouse.
He's definitely not a billionaire. Isn't he about a 30 millionaire or something like that?
Thousandaire, millionaire, whatever.
So this week, it's not a shandy week, apparently. I'm having a Monteith's Brewing Company Doppelbock Winter Ale.
And it is winter, so that's appropriate.
Still is winter. It has been unseasonably warm lately, but that doesn't change the fact that it's always time for a beer around discourse time. So we've had a lot of, once again, trend of a lifetime, habit of a lifetime. We've had technology problems with the stream once again. This week, we've had to abandon Skype once again in favor of a little open source application Dylan found called Mumble.
Yeah, it's used for people, you know, playing video games and chatting to each other.
Right. So that's what it's for. Well, I probably shouldn't have said where it is because anyone can join.
Well, they have to know my IP address.
Is that true?
Yes.
Am I connected to your IP address?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure I gave you my IP address and that's how you got connected.
Oh. That's not how it felt like it worked for me.
Oh.
I'm not going to say any more about that because security through obscurity is better than no security, just only fractionally. The party's in particular domain name that I'm not going to read out. So what have you been up to?
Just, you know, working. That's it. Nothing.
Oh, yeah. Cool, cool.
Oh, no, I spent a while yesterday making funny pictures of Ben Gracewood.
Oh, he made the mistake of posting up an avatar picture with a green background.
Ooh.
Some sort of patsy, that guy. He's just asking for it, really, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I couldn't cut him out from another background, but, you know, the green just makes it too easy.
Yeah, too easy. I like that brony background you put him on.
The weird part about that is that was actually a picture of him.
I know. That was my favorite. Yeah. That was the favorite aspect of it.
Mind explodes.
Boom. So, lots of stuff has happened in the last week. One of them, I think, had the earthquake, the Wellington explosion of sudden stuff.
That's
and.
Like Thursday or Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that happened. The upshot of that is, well, I don't really care because it's Wellington. Who gives a fuck? There's like three people still live there.
It was interesting. I thought that it happened at what, like 4 o'clock-ish?
Yeah.
Maybe 3:30.
And everyone was already at the pub.
Well, but everyone decided that that was it, that, you know, clear out of town, just go home. And it was just gridlock because thousands of people go into Wellington Central on the trains, and when there's an earthquake, the trains stop.
Yeah.
So all these people who have gone in that way can't get out that way.
Yeah.
Which is understandable, but it's an interesting conundrum for the odd geography that Wellington is.
Yeah. Well, I hope that we one day have the same problem and over-reliance on public transport would be really excellent. It's a great way for a city to be.
We don't really have the same bottlenecks as, well, a few of them, but not as many bottlenecks as Wellington. Like, there's really only one way out of Wellington.
Yeah, the chat room quite rightly has just pointed out that you're very quiet.
I apologise. I'm not sure what I... Oh, hang on. Let's try this. How's that?
Oh, that's heaps better. Why didn't you do that sooner?
I forgot that I had a physical volume control available to me.
All right, well...
I just twiddled with my knob and now it's all better.
Hey, what isn't made better than what isn't made better by a good knob twiddling? Man.
I can't even think of three things.
Can't even get the simple jokes out. Yeah, Lisbonians would disagree with the entire proposition, wouldn't they?
Speaking of Lisbonians, something big happened for them this week.
Someone discovered a pill that ends lesbian bed death. Nope, that hasn't happened.
I don't think that's a thing.
You have you don't think lesbian bed death is actually a thing?
Don't make me. Let's not. I don't know what this is. Let's not go there. Listen.
This is not an Urban Dictionary word of the week. This is no trick or trap. This is lesbian bed death, and it's a known thing. All right.
What is lesbian bed death?
It is the
he says, immediately regretting his question.
It's a thing that happens in some lesbian relationships where they just kind of become like sisters and they have zero more sex forever and ever and ever. And, I mean, some might say that that's pretty much what marriage is like, and that might be true.
I was going to say, I mean, relationship bed death is not uncommon in the, at least the, like the general, what's the word, the zeitgeist.
Yeah, so I've never heard of gay couple bed death, but, I mean, obviously there's a stereotype about married heterosexual couples stopping having the fun times. But there's also this lesbian bed death thing, which I think is cool just because of the name. It sounds so cool. It's such a wonderful sounding syndrome.
Well, that wasn't the thing I was referring to.
Oh, yeah? No? No, that pill hasn't been invented yet? No, I'm sure just... that the medical industry is going to get right on that, though.
It's right up there. So yeah. Just after... cures for cancer.
Cures for baldness and then lesbian bed death and then after that cancer.
Yeah. No, I was talking about the fact that as of Monday this week, the gays can marry.
Well, that's handy. What,
and
like
on Tuesday...
Ronald and White, Jonathan what? Gay.
No, yes, that's right. On Tuesday, White Island erupted. So you can draw your own conclusions.
How many people were killed in the White Island eruption?
No one, but there was a big plume of steam, which I think is exactly what we'd expect to see from, you know, God.
Is White Island in the middle of an urban agglomeration?
Yes.
So, like, so when White Island erupted with its great plume of steam, were a very large number of people frightened and at least inconvenienced?
Look, it's all a matter of sort of terminology. I think... a large number of people who may possibly have been looking in that direction at that precise time,
yeah,
like a large percentage of them, might have been slightly alarmed.
Right. So, I mean, a smiting is in the eye of the beholder, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So has Christian Heritage, no, what are they called? Conservative Party. That was unintentional. I don't believe there's any actual correlation between those parties. Has Conservative Party made any claims about White Island being a sign from God that the gays?
Not yet, but they're not happy about fish and obviously the gays.
Why aren't they happy about fish? Was it not fresh enough for them?
I don't know. I just looked at their website and that's the first thing. Hands off our fish.
Hands off our fish, but don't worry about the GCSB.
Not sure they have a position on that. Haven't looked.
You know, we have fishers and hunters who listen to this show, and I've got their back. You might not, but I have.
It's not that I don't. I just don't much care.
Of course, saying that I've got the back of the people with all the guns, that's not very helpful. Hopefully they've got my back. Tell you what, hunters and fishers, we can just have each other's backs, eh? And we'll just make sure we vote for sensible people.
You're just sensibly aligning yourself.
I'm sensibly aligning myself with the people who have boats, knives, big cars, and guns, and batches, and holiday homes.
That puts you behind them.
I'm very happy to have anyone's back as long as I also have a glass of wine.
Good, good.
Yeah.
What else happened?
Probably nothing.
Did you get in the last week? Did you get any fancy new devices that plug into your television?
No.
Was that more than a week ago?
Don't know. Oh, yes, you're talking about the Chromecast. See, the thing is, all right, well, let's talk about what the Chromecast is. It's basically, so Google have previously had a go at making an internet connected television set-top box-ish device. And they had one called, I think it was called Google TV. And it was just a complete failure. Didn't work. And so Apple proved that it was possible to make one of these things and sort of make it a bit of a hobby. As far as they've ever said about the Apple TV, Apple TV 2 and Apple TV 3. I've got an Apple TV 2 and I love the little black pants off that device. It doesn't have pants, but...
you could put pants on it. There's no reason it couldn't have pants.
Little square pants.
Like SpongeBob.
I guess. Keep your Apple TV out of the bottom of the sea, though. So the Apple TV is a wonderful device, especially once you hack it and install Xbox Media Center. Or if you have an iDevice, which has an application called Air Video. Because everyone knows about AirPlay, and that's where you can mirror or play media from your iDevice, your iPad, iPhone, or I guess a MacBook or whatever.
Yeah.
For the poor saps that have any of those things. You can play that to the Apple TV, and it will then display on your screen. You can play music and movies and so on. And the device can also stream if you're in the right geographical areas, or at least look like you are. You can do like Netflix and YouTube and, you know, all of that stuff. And it works really well. I think it's only 720p, but it works really well. It's very clean. And when you have Xbox Media Center on it, it is pretty close to the perfect, what your aunt had been talking about, device.
Yeah, no, it works really well. I find, though, it struggles to play some of the better quality files, the larger ones.
Mm. If it ends in .mkv, you're probably going to have trouble.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. And I also find, oh, I have found recently that Netflix has stopped working on it.
Oh, is that right?
On mine. Don't know why. Very annoying.
So what Google did, after their first failure, they just sort of it evaporated, and they just went on to completely dominate the handset, the smartphone market with, I mean, I think Android is something like 90% of sales now. It's absolutely a behemoth in, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but it's because it spreads so widely. You can get an Android phone at just about any price point.
Right, and so you've got Samsung, and they make a hell of a lot of phones, and HTC and all sorts of people, and maybe Nokia will see the writing on the wall and they might start doing it as well. Of course, Samsung have smart TVs, and they can do the streaming stuff and the mirroring stuff from your phone. Google said, hey, you know what? Let's have another go at making one of these set-top boxes, but let's make it have zero local storage and not play locally. Let's make it only do online streaming. That's pretty much what they said.
Yeah.
And let's make it the size of a thumb drive, and let's make it just plug, you know, like a dongle hanging out of an HDMI, and not take up any space on your TV console unit at all. Let's have it just completely out of sight, and let's have it only connect by Wi-Fi, so there's no other cables, and let's sell it for $30. And they decided that they would. And they sold a hell of a lot of them. And we bought three, you and me and Ben. And they arrived last week, and so we've been playing with them since then. And what's your experience, Ben?
I've only played with it a little bit. There's a few things. It's kind of a little unintuitive at first. You're like, wait, what does this thing do? Where's the remote control? Because there isn't one.
When it first did its... Yeah, the no remote control thing is weird. When it first did its Wi-Fi setup, were you like, what does it mean it's trying to connect to the Wi-Fi? There's no way it can because it's got all that password protection on it.
Yeah.
And then did it take you like 1 or 2 minutes to be like, oh, maybe I should connect to it?
No, well, no, because it told me what to do.
Did it? I'm sure mine didn't tell me to do that.
Mine told me to go and download it, like go to this, you know, I think it's google.com/chromecast/setup.
Mm-hmm.
There it tells me to download an app, and I run the app. And that was quite surprising because it looks on the local Wi-Fi to see if it can see a Chromecast. And if it can't, it then scans Wi-Fi for a Chromecast and then disconnects you from your local Wi-Fi and connects you to the Chromecast to configure the Chromecast so you can get it to connect to your Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Are you following?
I am following, it was weird. But that wasn't quite my experience. Maybe I was too hasty. There's a thing, sometimes if a process doesn't feel like it's going right, I will sometimes interrupt it and do it the manual way, and that often results in taking a lot longer and having more stress. So it's possible that while it was trying to do part of that process, I said, excuse me, stand aside, son.
I think I had trouble trying to configure it with my phone, but with my laptop, there's no problem.
Right. So anyway, as you were, how did it go once you managed to get it onto your Wi-Fi?
Well, what did I do? The first thing I tried to do was I got it connected, and then I tried, what do they call it, casting a tab from Chrome.
Yeah.
Which is just a screen share, really. It's just sending like a raster version of what's on your screen and on your tab to the device.
Yeah.
So that works reasonably well. It's a little bit jittery. Kind of as you'd expect. And I guess that's kind of useful. I managed to play like Angry Birds on it.
Right.
I was like, can I play like a Flash game in here? And I can.
Right.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then I went to YouTube. There's like a Chrome, what do they call them? Add-ons, extensions?
Yeah.
There's a Chrome extension you add on, which you when you go to YouTube now, there's another little button on the bottom right.
Yeah.
That is, where do you want to display this video?
It's kind of a bad icon.
Yeah, because it looks like the full screen when I keep hitting it. Let me take the full screen.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, you say cast this to Dylan's Chromecast, and then it just starts playing on the Chromecast. Takes 20 seconds to load up, and then starts playing. And you can play and pause with the controls in your browser, but the actual video is playing on the Chromecast.
Yeah,
I've done that with my phone as well. Works.
Yeah.
Also supports Netflix at the moment. It will support other things later, apparently.
Well, the fun thing...
Netflix is the same. You go to Netflix and then you can choose a video and you can go, cast this to Chrome, my Chromecast.
Mm.
And then Chromecast loads up and it fires up its internal Netflix app and it says, what video do you want to watch? And it goes to watch that video. But it doesn't work outside America.
No, but and it's got hard-coded DNS, so you can't do the normal tricks.
So everything else on my network at home works for Netflix and things because magic DNS tricks.
Yeah.
But Chromecast doesn't have a DNS configuration.
Yeah.
So it's always using Google's 8.8.8.8 DNS server.
Yeah.
Which means it always gets the proper results. It never gets the cheated results. So I haven't done it yet, but in theory with my router, I can configure an IP tables DNS rewrite rule that will take any DNS traffic that's going there and rewrite it to my UnblockOS DNS server.
Wow, that sounds really intuitive. I bet my mum would know how to do that.
Well, she wouldn't, but she's not supposed to have it, and they don't sell it into New Zealand officially anywhere, so I guess such is life.
Yeah. So my experience was much the same, although when I tried to cast to it from my Galaxy S4, it kind of kept on dropping its connection. So it would play for a bit, and then it would sort of seem like it was buffering, and then it would play again. But from an iPad, it went fine. And it seems a bit weird that an Android device would work less well than an iOS device to a Google object. The Netflix thing I find a little bit, frankly, kind of uninteresting. So our Chromecast, because we got in really early on the first day of release, we got 3 months of Netflix bundled. And if it wasn't for that, I definitely would have just cancelled already because it's not good. It's full of junk and Netflix. stuff I've seen before.
I guess I really like Netflix, but that's because there's a whole bunch of TV shows that I never got around to watching.
Right.
And so I find Netflix a really convenient way to watch most of those because most of the ones I've been like, oh, I must get around to watching blah, blah, blah are all on there and I can go back to one and just go.
Right. So you use it sort of like a sort of a back catalogue kind of thing.
Yeah, that's mostly what
I'm using it for. Right. I like, because I watch quite a lot, I don't miss that much. And so I just sort of want the new stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't find it wonderful for that. Maybe it's because, you know, it actually does have a lot of that new stuff, but because I'm one day behind, it was not new enough for me. It wasn't interesting for me. Perhaps
Netflix is more like DVD. So the things on Netflix are typically timed around the same time as DVD release. So Burn Notice, which is a show I've been watching on Netflix, the 6th season just came on Netflix like a week ago, and the 7th season is 10 episodes into it on air.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the timing.
Yeah.
I also use Hulu.
Yeah.
Which isn't yet supported on Chromecast.
No.
And I have Hulu Plus, so I get both catch up and like stored streaming content.
Yeah.
But again, Hulu's all over the place in terms of what's available.
Yeah. So my hope is that because there is a Chromecast SDK and all the little developers, I think it actually does run Android, doesn't it?
I imagine so.
All the little Android developers are able to start building apps for it now. And so hopefully they will come up with stuff which is just, you know, better and more interesting than YouTube and Netflix, which is really what it's limited to at the moment. I mean, ignoring the tab casting, which, you know, frankly, it's not terribly interesting to me. I guess that is a way to get around anything, because I suppose in a Chrome tab you actually can play, you know, most kinds of video, I suppose, but it's not really nice. And so what I was hoping for with this device is it could be something where, you know, if you have your laptop or your tablet or your phone and you just take it with you if you go away, you can plug it into your hotel room TV and just, you know, put your media up really easily, really conveniently, which is something that people used to do with the Apple TV back when it had local storage. They'd just put a, you know, a bunch of their new, you know, they'd do a few rentals or whatever onto their Apple TV, and then they'd just take it and plug it in and play them off there. Now, of course, that doesn't really work on the Apple TV because it has no local storage anymore. So anyway, I thought that this would be a pretty cool device for that kind of thing. And also, I mean, if you didn't have an Apple TV, you know, in 6 months, I bet the Chromecast is going to be a pretty cool substitute, as long as someone releases actually a hack for it, you know, a firmware, you know, something like the Cyanogen firmware replacement.
Well, I know the, I can't remember what the name of the forum where all the Cyanogen and all the, you know, all the Android hackers hang out, but they're already working on stuff. There's already things on there.
Yeah, I saw that there was something that was called Aircast. It was something like Aircast, and it was a limited beta with a 2-day... I don't even auto self-destruct 2-day self-destruct, which sort of works like AirPlay, and that's good, and it was available in most apps, I think. And you know, when you've got things like VLC available on, you know, your device, you actually can play whatever you want. That's cool, and that would have much more utility to me than what is currently there. I don't particularly want to watch YouTube on TV. You know, there are occasions. The other day, watching with my fishing pals, watching hook removal YouTubes. Oh my God, I tell you what, if you want to see squirm-inducing stuff, then hook removal videos, they are for you.
No, thanks.
No, you're not into it at all? No, fair enough. I'm not into it either. Thankfully, I've never had to have a hook removed, but it's going to happen. I've had a few bloody, you know, scraped thumbs and bleeding finger pads and so on. So it's going to happen when you're a bit clumsy. So since then, the girl was like, can I take the Chromecast and show it to people? And I was like, yep. And then she said, hey, do you want me to bring it back home? And I was like, no. So honestly, it's a device that is not ready, and it's kind of like it's in an open beta now because the apps just aren't available. And until they're available, it's not a very good device.
People are saying it's working quite a lot better in the States than obviously the experience we're having. But, you know, oh well. So it was a long time talking about something that we can't really buy that's kind of a bit useless.
Tech podcast.
Yeah.
It's much more fun than talking about all the politics that our next 5 stories are all about.
Go on then.
CIA confirms the world's worst kept secret, Area 51 is real. This isn't actually one of the problem ones. This is an appetizer.
Yeah. Some documents were declassified that say that the, what was it, the U-2 spy plane and some drones were tested at Area 51.
Yeah. And
which is exactly what everyone who isn't a UFO conspiracist says goes on there.
It's where the Skunk Works are based, right?
Well, some parts of them, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. There might be aliens, but they've never visited Earth, and they're not among us. Space is too big. I'm very sorry, friends.
I feel the same.
But they are, you know, space is so big that they're definitely out there. You know, if we can exist, then others can exist. They might not exist simultaneously with us, though, because time is also very long. You know, a little bit of an offset, you know, could be millions of years between our civilizations being able to communicate, you know.
Yeah.
And space is so big that getting around, short of, you know, magical physics, and physics are not magical, you can't really get from one star to another, not realistically. You know, you can get from one planet to another, that's no problem. And I bet that somewhere out there, there's a solar system, and there are two independently developed smart civilizations that have developed on almost adjacent planets, and they can communicate, and it's amazing. And I bet either they are at each other's throats or they're all atheists, because you can't be self-centered and believe that the universe was created for you if you know that there are other civilizations that aren't like you out there. That's what I think.
Interesting angle.
Yeah. Now, then we get onto the lag, the stinker stuff. Now, at least we can probably disagree and agree on some of this. So Glenn Greenwald's, we'll is it his husband or his boyfriend?
Well, I've seen both reported. I think he's his husband, so we'll go with that.
All right. His husband, David Miranda, who I guess is Brazilian. They live in Brazil.
He is. They do.
He had been in Germany talking to a documentary filmmaker whose name escapes me momentarily.
Okay, so she was the important point is she was the person who Edward Snowden first contacted.
Right.
She then took the information to Glenn Greenwald.
Yeah.
So she was absolutely pivotal in the Snowden leaks. She was the one who traveled with Greenwald to Hong Kong to film him. She's making a documentary that features him heavily.
Right.
She has presumably all the same documents and things that Greenwald does.
Yeah. So Greenwald's husband, David Miranda, had visited her in Germany and was traveling back to Brazil, and he stopped in England on the way to change planes.
Correct.
And he was then grabbed by, I guess, you know, border control sort of people.
The Metropolitan Police.
Bundled into, you'd wonder why Metropolitan Police were inside an airport, wouldn't you?
They operate there. They're responsible for enforcing those laws there, apparently.
Metropolitan Police is a whole other issue that we can talk about some other time, but that is a bizarre police force. It is a weird setup. The city, which is basically a corporation that owns a lot of land and has their own police force, is a weird setup, and that's the Met. It is absolutely bizarre.
No, it's not. No.
You don't think so?
No, the Met. No, the city is different. The city is 1 square mile within the centre of London. It is the City of London. It's ridiculously
aren't the
old.
Met their police force?
The Met are not the police force. The Met are the police force.
Who's
for
their police
every
force?
Every other part. They have the City of London police.
Right, okay. All right. Which are so police. This isn't just, this isn't their guys?
No, this is the police force for the Greater London area, which okay. is, you know.
So these are real police officers then?
Genuine, real, honest police officers, yep.
But
well, I don't know, honest.
Well, honest perhaps not honest, because they grabbed this guy under the Terrorism Act of, like, 2000-ish.
Schedule 7 of the Terrorism Act, they said.
And they bundled him away into a little room, and they told him for a long time, well, and that is a fact. We know that he was bundled away in an airport, and everything after that gets hazy.
He was held for 9 hours.
Just under 9 hours. He was held for 8 hours and 55 minutes, and the maximum time he's allowed to be held without charge is 9 hours.
That's correct.
Initially, it was said that he wasn't allowed legal counsel. Later on, he himself said that he had been, after a long time, he'd been offered a lawyer. But
well, no, he didn't specify how long it was at all.
But he'd refused it because...
And a lawyer.
He'd refused it because he didn't trust anything that was happening. They were acting like a bunch of bloody bullies, right? And they were threatening him with jail and saying that he had no choice but to cooperate, and he had to tell them, you know, various things, which is, you know, it's very easy to say, well, you know, if you're being bullied, fucking stand up for yourself, you know, just
well,
don't speak. But then, you know, if you put yourself actually in that position across the table from a revolving cast of thugs in cheap suits telling you that you're going to go to prison for a long time, it's very hard to say exactly how you'd behave at that point.
Well, the other thing is that they may have had the power to put him in jail because one of the criticisms of that particular terrorism act or whatever it is that it does do away with a lot of the protections that would be available to a, you know, to someone in the UK.
Yeah.
It only applies at border crossings.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the interesting thing about the story, and I've seen someone recently refer to the Guardian 24-hour window, and that is when an article comes out from the Guardian on any issue related to Snowden or the NSA or
written by Glenn Greenwald
or anything by Glenn Greenwald, you should wait 24 hours to see what the actual story is.
Yeah.
Because there's been a very consistent sort of pattern with these articles where, you know, there's an exciting and dramatic article published, and then within 24 hours there's a whole lot of other information that comes out that really changes the angle that the first article was.
Now, it's still true that this seems to have been a bit of an abuse of power. They stole his laptop and his phone, his thumb drive. They stole, like, watches and a games console.
Well, they've confiscated them all these are all things that the Act allows, but there is a pretty strong legal opinion that he should never have been detained under that act in the first place because...
Well, it's clear why they stopped him. They didn't suspect him of being a terrorist.
No, and the act only allows for them to stop someone to find out if they're a terrorist, basically. Yeah. So if they already know who the person is and are fairly certain that the person is not a terrorist or stopping them for some other reason, then the act doesn't really apply.
Yeah. So I think a stink has to be kicked up. Ignoring the fact that Glenn Greenwald is a bit of a fantasist and he does put two, he overgilds every story to begin with, certainly. Ignoring that, stinks must be kicked up because there is a chewy, tough center on this story.
So like so much of this NSA Guardian Snowden stuff, it's done two things. One is it's kind of been discredited in some ways, but the other thing is it's exposed like an underlying issue.
Yeah.
So the underlying issue is that the police are abusing this law that they have that should not be used in this way. But the fundamental story here is that it was not as Glenn Greenwald presented it, you know, in The Guardian initially. He was not just traveling. He'd spent a week staying with her. He was carrying documents to her and carrying documents back and being paid by The Guardian to do so. So, you know, there's that aspect. He wasn't, you know, I don't understand why.
He said that he actually wasn't interviewing her.
No, he wasn't interviewing her. He was carrying documents to her.
And he said he didn't know what he was carrying.
Well, apparently, but, you know. Plausible deniability, didn't know specifically what he was carrying. He knew that he was dropping off. He was being paid to courier things.
Yeah.
So, but I don't understand why you do that. Like, you know, and at this point, apparently the Guardian already knew that the GCHQ was keen to get the files off them and just have the files destroyed.
Yeah.
So why would you send files physically through the UK?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why you do that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Watch my hand, look at my sleeves. There's nothing up my sleeves. And meanwhile, it's just going over the internet.
Yeah, well, I don't know why it wouldn't. I mean, we're going to Greenwald's, Greenwald and the documentary one, whose name I also can't be bothered remembering, are both, you know, very paranoid about what the NSA can and can't do. But I'm fairly sure there's pretty solid encryption that could, you know, allow them to send files between each other.
And also, well, and that's another thing. This guy believed that he had no choice but to reveal his passwords. Now, the passwords he had.
His laptop and his phone.
This could have been like a true cryptid blob that he had absolutely no idea of the key for, and which they are not going to be able to break open, you know, not as long as, you know, they haven't discovered their own breakthroughs in cryptography, you know, and possibly they have, but a lot of people work on that stuff. So, you know, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm completely unconvinced because, frankly, there's a lot of really solid cryptographic minds that don't work for the NSA who are fairly certain these things are secure at a certain point. And I think TrueCrypt meets that point.
Yeah. So I think that this is not the way that I want governments to behave.
Nope.
Regardless of how inconvenient this information is or whether it was, you know, technically classified, if our governments, and I'm speaking as, you know, a member of a Western nation, if our governments are behaving shamefully and they are hiding it, and they decide that the fact that they're behaving shamefully is a secret, then we have to break those secrets because they are breaching our trust. And whether that's legal or not, it's kind of too bad because democracy doesn't work without the possession of this sort of information. If you don't know that your government is, you know, just for instance, torturing people for information and you know, doing these bizarre, extraordinary renditions off to other countries so that they can't just do enhanced interrogation techniques. Instead, they actually get their buddies in friggin' Turkey to pull people's fingernails off. Or, you know, there's horrific drone programs. Or, you know, most of us probably, sadly, have seen Collateral Damage, which was the video that obviously WikiLeaks exploded over and was what Bradley Manning, he you know, it's one of the big things that he leaked. That was an attack chopper murdering a whole bunch of innocent people.
Yep, that was pretty.
And horrible. There is no two ways about that. Now, that you know, they may say, "Oh, well, we were confused. We thought that the camera was a bunch of guns." But if you're actually not sure, maybe you just don't shoot randomly into a crowd. And you know, that's obviously that wasn't the New Zealand government, but that was our Western government has a relatively similar system to ours, is meant to be a free democracy, and they are our allies, or at least, you know, friendly partners. We are allied in some respects with them. We can't let them behave like that. They actually make our life. I mean, they cannot do that in our names.
People who should know better.
I am actually in favor of drones, but not random murderings of crowds of people. I think they're probably pretty good for gathering a certain kind of intelligence. It's just not necessarily the most useful. And it's probably not the greatest place to fire a missile from.
No.
You know, when you actually can't see exactly what's happening. If you can make the mistake of it's not a gun, it's a camera. If you can make that mistake, then you shouldn't be shooting. If it's even possible to make that mistake, then you shouldn't be pulling the trigger. You shouldn't be pushing that button.
Anyway. I mean, I agree, although to some extent you have to put it in the context that it is as well. It's a war where, for the most part, we're shooting things at people that we can't identify one way or the other. Like, and that's happening from both sides. Everyone's blowing everyone up.
And it's hard to distinguish when everyone is dressed the same, because they're in their own country and they're not actually soldiers. They are people who are fighting for, you know, whatever their personal belief is. And a lot of those, the so-called enemy, I really hate most of those motherfuckers, right? Because they hate women. They hate freedom. They hate atheists. They hate our kind of, you know, what I think of as freedom. They love their particular interpretation of their one very strict religion. And everyone else can go fuck themselves as far as they're concerned. I believe everyone, you know, golden rule, you know, do unto others. Believe in your own thing, but don't try and force me to. And they don't believe in that, you know, some of them. But there are also people who are just normal people. You know, in that collateral damage video, a van of people who, you know, we don't know if they are related to the group that's initially shot or not, but they pull up and just start trying to help them, like a sort of an unofficial ambulance, trying to help these people who are shot and dying on the ground, and they get shot at.
Well, they get killed, don't they? I think I'm pretty sure that
there were. Oh, I don't think everyone in that
nailed the van with them.
I don't think everyone in that van died. I think there were even, I think, children in that van.
Yeah, they were. Right, oh, that's right. Yeah,
and that's just one that we've got video for.
Yeah.
And we absolutely we don't know the details of every other one of these drone attacks, but we absolutely do know. You're right. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Of course, that wasn't a drone attack. I misspoke. But I think the majority of these, the disastrous attacks lately have been from drones, because there are so many of them. And it's even like organizations like the CIA, not even the armed forces, who are operating these drones with hellfire missiles on them and so on, right? Is that really the CIA's job? And if it is their job, is it actually what people think that they should be doing? Anyway, I'm kind of getting beside the point a little bit here, but
wee bit.
Drone's good, but you can very, very horribly and badly misuse them. You know, you're so far away from the details of the fight, you know.
It's true of more or less anything.
Yeah.
Or more or less any, you know, large weapon.
Fighting with a knife, very personal.
A lot harder to misuse that. Well, not even that hard to misuse that, but, you know, much more limited.
But you don't mistake a camera for a gun if you're fighting someone with a knife.
Yep.
Next story. UK agents seeking to stop leaks bust into the Guardian's offices and smash up their hard drives.
This is another Guardian 24 Hours story.
So this has only happened in the last little while. Today, when we're recording this today.
Well, we don't know when this happened. There's no time frame on when this was. It's really weird that this... Okay, so this apparently happened.
Yeah.
This comes from an editorial about the David Miranda thing.
Yeah.
By the editor-in-chief of The Guardian. This mention of government agents forcing The Guardian to destroy hard drives or computers or something happens like 9 paragraphs into this thing. It's not headlined at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. I don't understand, like, why it wasn't if they're going to mention it, why it wasn't a headline story in the first place. It's always just, it's just this sort of passing mention at the end of this column about the David Miranda thing. Yeah. It's unusual. There's a whole lot of lack of information, like exactly who made the decision to destroy the things. It sounds to me like The Guardian chose to do that to placate this nameless government agency.
Yeah.
And when it was clearly pointless. I mean, surely everyone knew that. It's not like files can't exist in two places at once.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's unusual and lacking a lot of detail. I'm sure we'll find out more at some point.
It's
ostensibly the government hassled the Guardian and said some GCHQ people perhaps or someone else hassled the Guardian and said, you've had your fun, now give us the files back.
Yeah.
And the Guardian staff members, under the watchful eye of these government agents, destroyed some hard drives.
Yeah.
And rather than have the government take legal action against them or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. When you know you've got heaps of backups, you know.
Well, I mean, I guess
they're fun.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's not like the London office needs the files.
No.
I've got Glenn Greenwald writing the stories from Brazil.
No extradition, I think, from Brazil, is that right?
Who knows?
Yeah. So next beer is a Samuel Adams Boston Ale, for those who are playing along at home. And the next story is about Lavabit. His name is Leda Levison. He is the creator of Lavabit, which is a secure email service. And I think this is the one that was used by Edward Snowden. And he shut down the service after being threatened by some government agency.
We don't know, but we know he shut down the service.
He can't say.
Talk about why. Yeah. So we assume he received a national security letter of some sort.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Although so you're gonna.
And so now he's gone a little bit further, and he has deleted everything and destroyed the servers.
So apparently he was told that his shutting down the service was an act of non-compliance.
Yeah.
And therefore he may be held in contempt of court and jailed.
Yeah.
And he's also said that he has previously complied with orders.
Yeah.
So, with orders for specific information. So it seems, you know, if we read between the lines, it suggests that perhaps the order or the request that he received was less about providing specific information and more about providing ongoing information.
Yeah.
So like a tap rather than a disclosure order.
Yeah.
So he took the option to terminate the service rather than have to comply.
Yeah. It's once again, you know, it's hard to judge him because he's actually taken quite a brave move to you know, push the eject button.
We know about these sort of security orders is that you can't talk about them. So by the very fact of not talking about them tells us, you know, and specifically refusing to talk about certain aspects, you know, kind of tells us things.
Or he's playing a game.
Well, probably, but
I doubt he's playing a game.
I mean, I don't think he is.
Yeah, I doubt he's playing a game. But you know, when you only have fragments of information, you know, you can your imagination can run away with you. But in this case, you know, we have pretty high confidence that a bunch of these national security orders have gone out. We know what people talk like or what they've spoken like in the past when it was strongly suspected that a national security letter was in play, and this is pretty much the same. It seemed legit, so it probably is legit. Anyway, he started a legal defense fund, and he's made something like $100,000 or something. You know, he's kind of the equivalent of kickstarted his lawyer's fees. Good for him. I hope that he can bring back his service. You know, if it was good, I hope he can bring it back at some point. You know, maybe once we assuming that we can kind of do away with these cloak and dagger assholes, these weird bully authoritarian spooks. You know, if we can get rid of them, it's going to take a while probably, but if we can root them out and get rid of them for a while, then, you know, maybe we can go back to being free and peaceful for a few decades. That'd be pretty great. If we can't, then, you know, welcome to our wonderful future. No flying cars, but, you know, we sure do have the internet. It's not really as good as a flying car, is it?
Not at all.
I could probably push a button. Let me push a button.
Next story.
Even though I've just been saying next story every other time. So now this is from No Right Turn. I'm just going to quote the whole thing, and then we can try and pick it apart. 3 weeks ago, we learned that the NSA are secretly funding Britain's GCHQ by over £30 million a year. This naturally led to the question, are they also funding our GCSB in New Zealand? Today, Russell Norman asked that question in Parliament. The Prime Minister refused to answer, saying that it was not in the national interest for him to do so. Key's refusal is as good as an admission, says Noratun. If our spies weren't being funded by and therefore working for a foreign power, he would simply say so. By refusing to answer, he's made it clear that our spies aren't. They're America's spies, hosted by us, but paid for and answering to the US. That all sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Slightly hyperbolic. We don't know, you know, we don't know that they answer to the US, but certainly it's obvious that we receive some level of financial support from the US for whatever the hell it is we do for them.
Well, and with this, 45 minutes. This Echelon thing's been true for a long time. Well, Hopi is a listening station, and we know that we've been sharing information, and so maybe they pay something for that. And so it may be...
Well, and they have NSA staff based there, don't they? I'm pretty sure they do.
And the head of the NSA has visited New Zealand, visited our powers that be here 4 times in the last year.
There you go.
Apparently. 4 times. That's the head of the NSA. What is he here to talk about?
No one knows.
Is it about passing crazy new GCSB laws? Maybe.
Maybe I don't think so, because I don't think it would make much difference. I don't think the way our law is structured would make a whole lot of difference for what we do for the states, but who knows?
Yeah. I want to talk about some things other than this story for a little bit. Now, we could talk about the GCSB bill. We could talk about the wonderful meeting in the town hall last night at which Seabee, former owner of Orcon and now owner of Voyager Internet, spoke at and was a bit of a star, actually.
Yeah, I missed that bit.
Hosted by Bomber Bradbury. Who I find a bit boring, but... But CB is pretty...
I find him moderately insufferable, but there you go.
CB's pretty great. Pretty good value, actually. He's been doing less of the kind of whoring around and womanizing. Or he might not be doing less. He might just be talking about it less. Too many photos of him with a bunch of blondes with their cleavage out. You know what I mean? Just too many of those for too long. he's like a more successful and handsome David Farah in a sort of a sense, you know, where he's like, I really like vaginas. You know what I mean? Like, some people are just sort of too heterosexual. They're like, okay. Oh, let's go and have fun at a strip club. Nice, healthy fun. And try and pick up a hooker. Actually, it's easy to pick up a hooker, I guess. You give them money. I didn't mean hooker. You know what I mean, a stripper. I just didn't want to say it too many times all at once.
Totally, of course.
Then I made it all worse by explaining myself. Anyway, so that happened in the town hall, the Auckland town hall last night. Filled the place up, and away you go. Good stuff.
A weird, uncomfortable, extended break for fundraising during the live stream.
Yeah, well, they've got to pay for it somehow, right?
No, I know, but that whole thing was quite uncomfortable to watch after a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair call. I would say that it's possible that this GCSB bill... Now, I think there's very little chance that it's not going to go through. I think it's terrible that it should.
Well, okay, so by the time you're listening to this, given that you're not listening to it live, it probably has gone through.
It's gone through by one vote and no one's listening. And Peter Dunn is saying stuff that no one believes at all about how he rationalizes it. And it doesn't make any sense. And ACT on campus and basically every member of ACT... Pretty much, because, you know, it's a tiny party now. They all think that it's absolutely abhorrent that they are also, you know, they are why it's being passed. They're a libertarian party, for fuck's sake. This directly goes against their values. But John Banks is not a libertarian. He's an authoritarian. He's in the wrong party. And it was just, it was convenient. It was a convenient way for him to get back into the house. You know, he had a back scratching deal over Epsom and he's back in the house and that's what he wanted, right? Because Auckland decided we didn't want him for mayor anymore. And so he had to have some way to get his power out there. Anyway, one of them should not vote for it, but both of them will vote for it. So that's just too bad. But this feels like it might be the start of a potentially interesting movement, which is not just the weird hippies and hobos and mental defectives that the Occupy movement seem to be mainly made up of, and is actually a much more interesting and broader based group of people on the left and the right, and who are some of whom are very sensible and successful and clever, and so this might be an interesting thing if it can build up any momentum at all.
Well, I think once the bill passes, although I suppose there's still the TICS bill, whatever, telecommunications interception something.
Yeah.
I suppose so. That will probably it'll probably keep going that way until that bill's passed or defeated, whatever happens. And probably when that one starts to get some limelight, it'll actually get more in that sort of professional way, because there's going to be a lot of businesses at that point start to go, well, this is actually, you know, you get your people, hopefully, like Rod Drury and other sort of high-profile IT business people who can say, actually, this is, you know, going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So I think that'll happen until then. But after that point, I think it'll just...
After that, we're running towards an election, Dylan. That's what's happening after that.
Yeah, but I think the people who keep the focus on that are just going to dwindle back to the same group of unwashed hippies or whatever it was we were talking about before.
Well, it's pointless wasting your energy at a time. You know, you use leverage on the a fulcrum and a lever work together at appropriate times, right?
Because we've seen also a poll come out today that shows
Have plummeted.
National went down, 9 points or seven points, whatever it was, and the Greens have basically picked, Labour and the Greens have basically picked up all that. So the Labour and the Greens now could
49%.
If there was an election today and this poll was the actual outcome, that Labour and the Greens could govern.
Yep, they've overtaken. So this is from the NZ Herald today.
Roy Morgan was the polling coming out.
Support for Labour and Greens has overtaken National as Parliament debates controversial spying law changes, the latest Morgan poll shows. The poll showed that support for National had fallen 7 percentage points since July to 44%. Labour's support increased by 5 percentage points to 34%. Greens' share of the vote jumped 4% to 14%, the party's highest level since August 2012, which meant that if an election were held tomorrow, a Labour-Greens coalition would win. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Now, of course, we're very far away from an election, and this is one poll.
That poll was taken shortly before old Mr. Fishhand stood up.
Yeah. Do most people know about that?
I think so. The video's going around, and the photos have made their way onto the front pages of the main news sites.
So David Shearer held up two snapper in the House today.
Because he cares more about snapper than no, but they were discussing this. It was a question about the snapper bill.
Yeah.
About the fisheries bill. And he brought props, and those props were dead fish.
Yeah.
And his query was, why are commercial fishers allowed to take a fish this small, 25 centimetres?
Yeah.
And recreational fishers will be required potentially to have a fish this big, which is 30, whatever it was, 5 centimetres.
36.
36. Although, frankly, the one in his left hand, the 25-centimetre fish, looks a lot smaller than 24 centimetres to me.
It's pretty little.
He says he bought it at the Auckland fish markets this morning, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And then flew it down to Wellington with him.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened to it after that. Apparently he refused to table it so that he couldn't take it home and eat it.
See, now, I mean, so some people say that this is a silly move, but he's also actually making quite a good point. And that is
he is making a good point. It's just that holding up a couple of dead fish in Parliament just becomes a ridiculous photo op. It's the Michael Dukakis thing.
I actually don't find it ridiculous.
Okay.
I find him a bit soft, but I don't. This is not the worst thing he's ever done. The worst thing he's ever done is everything he ever says, not what he does, right?
And that meeting, which was so good, the GCSB meeting, which was so good.
Yeah.
David Shearer was among the worst.
Yeah. He's not impressive.
He got up and gave a lame campaign speech.
Yeah.
Basically, it was, Labour would do this and this.
By which I mean, maybe.
You know the politician, I think, who gave the best speech at that meeting?
Who's that?
Winston Peters.
Yeah, well, there's a shock for you.
I don't know. I like what he said, because he basically said, you know, we accept there's a reason to have the GCSB.
Yeah.
We don't think this is good legislation to make it happen.
Yeah.
Which is what I've said.
Yeah.
And I think what most people are saying, that we're not saying we should do away with the GCSB entirely, or even that New Zealand has absolutely zero risk from overseas, just that the law we're passing is not good.
Well, I mean, I have several issues with some of the things you just said, but I want to move on to the next story. And
done.
And I think we've had this disagreement before about what the GCSB should or shouldn't do, and about what the risks and threats to New Zealand are and are not, and whether we should be even worried about, you know, the occasional the occasional you know, terroristic attack. And I think we actually shouldn't be worried. Even if it did happen occasionally, it actually doesn't matter.
What if someone tries to suicide bomb planes with bombs in their breast implants?
Don't care.
Okay, because that's apparently going to happen in the UK.
Yeah, and it may or may not happen, but it doesn't matter, because if it does happen, it will be very infrequently, and then the death rate for humans will not increase at all.
But how do we find the bombs and the breast implants?
Well, I don't really want to go into it because it's just it invites sort of, I'd hate to mention him again, but it invites the sort of David Farrar greasy, sweaty grinning and. And, you know, talking about the exciting future possibilities of women getting groped even further, even worse than they already do in the security theatre of modern airports.
May I quote from David Farrar?
Oh, God.
In relation to this issue.
If you must.
I predict an upsurge of applications for people to work in airport security. Grinning face.
Fuck, he's a creep. He's such a fucking creep.
We're never going to get him back on the show if you talk about him like that.
Well, here's the thing, and this is going to sound self-serving, and it'll seem like I'm just responding to what you just said. I actually, in person, I like him, but online and politically, I can't stand him. He makes my skin crawl, but in person, he's perfectly friendly.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's one of those things. Next story. I'm not going to bother pushing the button, just because. So this is a drone story. Lockheed Martin, and it's also an exciting future story, potentially. Lockheed Martin built a car transporting drone for DARPA. So this essentially is a VTOL flying wing with large turbines that flies in, descends on a car, attaches to it, and then takes off with the car. And I think that this might be the way that we can get flying cars. We just need a special kind of roof rack.
Does it talk about what the application for this is supposed to be?
Killing people.
Oh, because I was like, I thought it'd be a great way to kidnap the terrorists.
Just fly in and clamp it on.
Just grab their car and fly them away.
Brilliant. So it's the sort of story we've seen with those big sort of Russian Skyhook helicopters, right? With the magnet, the electromagnet dangling and picking up a city bus or whatever, but in a sort of a small, slightly more targeted way. That would be pretty funny. Yeah. So let's see, what do they say? Well, it's the Skunk Works, Lockheed Martin Skunk Works.
If we're going to use drones to get terrorists, I'm all about doing it this way.
Yeah. What do they have to say about it? Lockheed showed off a few design renderings of the project at the Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International. They've been working on bringing the Transformer TX, which is this flying wing thing, to life since 2010. Originally, DARPA was looking for a military-ready flying car, as seen in some of the early renderings. Lockheed has released the design... Blah, blah, blah. There's not enough punctuation, and it's made my read of this really terrible. And blah, blah, blah. It's a thing that attaches to a car and flies,
it can attach
to anything that, you know, I guess is under a certain weight, and so it could just be some sort of cargo unit, or it could be a portable building, or it could be a vehicle of some kind. And you know, so we've got things like Google Drive, is that what they're called, anyway, those self-driving cars, which seem to work pretty well, and we've got, you know, so-called unmanned drones, which are, you know, they are autopilot, but they also have an actual pilot. So why not combine these two things with a device that flies down, attaches to your roof rack, picks you up, takes you past Hamilton, and then puts you back down, and you can drive the rest of the way.
That's genius.
I like to think it's genius. It would be so cool. I mean, obviously people absolutely cannot be trusted to fly themselves. Because people can barely be trusted to drive, which is why I think that, you know, the future has got to be self-driving cars, because the death toll would be way lower. But, you know, an attachment that joins onto your car and picks you up and carries you somewhere quickly, that'd be pretty cool. You know, take you over to Waiheke or whatever. Take you over to Coromandel. Don't have to do the drive around Thames. That'd be pretty cool. I think that'd be great. And, yep. You know, you push a button and it finds you and takes you. Or you could even just sort of sit in a little comfy little room, and it could pick you up and take you over there like that.
Sounds glorious.
Sounds glorious. That is our glorious future. So Expendables 3 is currently being made by Sylvester Stallone. Bruce Willis had, I think, he has 4 days' work and he was offered $3 million and he said, I want $4 million. And they said no, and then they fired him. And then within about 1 day, they had hired Harrison Ford to take his role. And that is going to make the Expendables 3 heaps better. Four. Because Harrison Ford, it's awesome.
Three.
But heaps better than what?
See you after the thing. Oh, not next week.
One.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
Right, we're using that one.
So I forgot to mention that we might not be doing discourse for about 5 weeks.
You didn't really bring that. I was wondering when that was.
I forgot all about it until just now. I was thinking about it before the show, but I forgot about it.
Why? Why might we not?
Because I'm going away to every country.
All of them.
Every country in a small space. Maybe because I forgot to mention it, maybe you should try and do it with Ben or something. Do you think you could manage that?
I don't know. It sounds like a lot of work.
Or maybe I could Skype into you and we could do like a 10-minute discourse each week at some difficult to organize time.
When do you depart?
Friday.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens. Maybe there'll be a show next week. Maybe there won't.
Maybe there will, maybe there won't.
But hopefully there'll be at least some shows in the next 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Some number of shows. a non-zero number.
This really does seem like something that should... Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, people will or they won't even notice. Most people won't even notice, probably. I'm not very good at marketing it. I don't know if even... I mean, people's iTunes. I'm sure that there are hundreds of iTunes around the country. I mean, I might say thousands, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. I actually don't know how many. There are probably dozens. There are probably at least three... Yeah, let's say tens. Tens or possibly 20s of iTunes around the country that download the show every week and that just never bother listening to it. And who cares? Good for them. It's the thought that counts and they didn't even think about it, so they don't count, but... You know, we think and so on enough to count ourselves at least twice. Is that how democracy works?
No, I think so.
So there are a few more stories that we could possibly talk about.
I don't download the podcast, if that's what you're implying.
I do. I probably don't count, though, because I don't think I do it through any of the things that are potentially tripped off, like the feed burner thing or whatever. I think I just grab it straight from the RSS. So definitely not counted. Maybe threes or fours of people. Some number that is like not a Brazilian and not one. It's greater than one, and beyond that, who can even be sure? Man publishes website after he dies. Martin Manley committed suicide and he built a website explaining why.
God damn it.
And where his buddy would be, who to talk to and who not to talk to, and what he wanted done with his organs. And so this guy was a sports journalist, Martin Manley, now he's dead. And Martin Manley, lifeanddeath.com returns a 503 service unavailable. So that's not very good, is it?
Yeah, that's...
Anyway,
I don't understand how you could write something in such detail about suicide and still do it. Yeah. Surely, if you contemplate it that much,
yeah.
Anyway,
well, the thing about depression is that you're not being reasonable. You know, you're seeing things.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Falsely.
I wish I understood these things in a useful way.
Chatroom says, "Good way to bring the room down."
Yeah, well, we can bring it down more. Did you hear about the guy who murdered his wife and posted photos on Facebook?
Yes, I did, because he posted photos on Facebook, he got caught.
Well, he didn't, because he went and turned himself into the police shortly afterwards.
Right. Oh, okay. All right. So I guess he was really proud of his work. Maybe he's some sort of craftsman. Did he do a good job, do you think?
Well, his statement was that they were fighting and that she was attacking him and he shot her. There's more to it than that, but that's...
And so then the first thing he did was take photos and upload them.
He took photos, said, "I've just killed my wife," posted them on Facebook, where no doubt her family and friends saw them.
See, I would never shoot anyone, but if I did accidentally or, you know, maybe in the heat of the moment, my first thought would not be take photos and put them on Facebook. My first thought would be get an ambulance.
Yeah.
And then while I was waiting for the ambulance, there wouldn't be photos. Photos time. You know, I'd go full Indian brave with, you know, drawing stripes on my face with the blood and so on. That's the natural way to do it. I regret that. I apologize for that joke. Next story. Now, let's call this, why not? Where's my button? Do I still even have a button for this?
Best of Lifehacker.
This isn't from Lifehacker. This is from The Guardian. Women who fear being forced to marry abroad. So, from the UK, and well, let me just read the story. A number of women and girls at the risk of forced marriage have avoided going abroad by concealing spoons in their underwear at airport security, according to a campaign group. Carmen Nirvana, a Derby-based charity that supports victims of forced marriage, advises people who ring its helpline to hide a spoon in order to set off metal detectors at British airports. Now, the reason for this is that when they set off the detectors, they will then be taken aside for secondary screening, and because they are women, they will be taken for their pat down. Now, in the States, this wouldn't probably work so well, but in the UK, it works all right. They get taken into a private room away from everyone else where they are now safe to reveal the story of what's going on.
And then airport security people have been instructed to contact a number of organizations,
right,
who can help them.
Right, exactly. Last week, ministers warned that young people were at the highest risk of being taken abroad for a forced marriage during the school holidays. The government's forced marriage unit received 400 reports between June and August last year out of an annual total of about 1,500. No one knows for sure how many Britons are forced into marriage each year. Estimates range from 1,500 to 5,000. More than a third of those affected are thought to be aged under 16. So, it's a pretty terrible problem, because not only are these girls and young women being forced to marry people that they do not want to marry, but I expect that they're then probably being raped by those men, because now they're married, right? And
yep.
So what else are you going to do with your young spouse? Of course, you're going to have sex with her. She doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to marry you. So,
if you go looking into this, there is a deeply unpleasant number of accounts of this process.
I hate it. And I think the spoon idea is brilliant. Unfortunately, now that it's been revealed, I bet that people are going to be checking for spoons and underpants before they go into the airport.
I think, broadly speaking, the concept can be executed in other ways.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's kind of two parts of it. You have to tell the people, you know, the victims in this, that there's this thing. And you can't do that without, you know, risking other people finding out.
Yeah. So, dear men, stop hating women. Please stop. You don't get to be the boss. You don't get to have control. People need to be able to control their own destinies.
And just because, like, you know, hundreds of other people or hundreds of people before you have done something a certain way doesn't mean you have to.
That's absolutely right. That's exactly correct.
Fuck cultural norms.
Yeah, be the change. Please. Yeah. And now, I mean, of course, none of the people that need to hear that message are listening, but please.
Seems unlikely.
Please.
Hey, quick point.
Yep.
Martin Manley.
Yes.
Was not depressed.
Oh, what was he?
He makes it very clear that he had no health issues,
mm-hmm.
no legal issues, no financial problems. He hadn't had the loss of anyone close. He had lots of things going on in his life and didn't feel lonely, and he was not depressed.
So why did he kill himself?
He decided he wanted to have one of the most organized goodbyes in recorded history, and he thinks he'll be successful.
Well, all right.
There's thousands of words about this on his website.
Well, I mean, to me, it seems like...
He committed suicide on his 60th birthday as well.
To me, it seems like you probably have to be mentally ill to kill yourself when you're healthy and are not I was about to say something contradictory, and I'm not, you know, depressed. I don't understand, but if indeed he was not sick in his head, then I support his right to choose. And good for him going out the way he wanted to. I find it really hard to believe that anyone would make that decision as a, you know, their own rational choice. So, but I mean, if the words that he wrote are a true reflection of fact, then, you know, good for him.
There's a lot to read if you want to find out. You can find it at martinmanley.org.
Right. So someone took a scrap or something.
Yeah.
That's good. I'd probably kick in a dollar to pay for that domain name. Doesn't take many people to keep that going for a while. Probably it's better if we create, you know, not that I actually really propose doing this, but, you know, everyone is going to die, and probably all of us have stories that we'd like to tell or memories that we'd like to share down through, you know, at least a few more generations. And, you know, having a place where you can put those, where you have some, you know, some small confidence that they will actually be maintained. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Because, you know, everyone is forgotten pretty quickly after they die. You know, tell me about your great grandfather, Dylan. You know, tell me about what he had for breakfast on the day he died. You don't know. You don't know about his hobbies. You don't know about his hopes or his fears or the things that gave him joy. All of those feelings and all of that love that he had for people around him, and or maybe hate. He might have been a fucking grumpy prick for all we know, but he probably wasn't. He was probably a sweetheart, and all of that is just gone. It just evaporated. Wouldn't it be nice if you could see some of his etchings and the poem that he, the weird little poem he wrote that made him laugh for the last 20 years of his life? Then most people might not have anything like that, but if you've got it, why not put it on the internet? I don't know how you would have confidence that anything would keep going, but, you know, maybe there's a way to make it work.
Uh-huh.
Do we want to do any more stories? We could talk about the Russia's new anti-gay sort of propaganda laws, which are bizarre, and how abhorrent I find the International Olympic Committee, and how pretty much I just want the Olympics to be ended. But that's not new. That's not because of this. But this is more of that. The Olympics, Winter Olympics should not be being held in Russia. They shouldn't be being held there.
The one aspect of the Olympics is lots of cool sports stuff and a global stage for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is the ridiculous organization that runs it and the commercialism behind it and the just abhorrentness of them.
There is so much sports stuff available right now. There has never been more sport available ever in all of history. We don't need the Olympics for sport. So then they have the secondary idea, which is about the brotherhood of man and nations coming together in peace and harmony. And yet they choose to do it in really fucked countries with terrible human rights records who do stupid things like make it illegal to tell people under 18 about homosexuality. Are you fucking kidding me?
Like, well, if they don't find out, they won't turn gay.
Of course, everyone that's listening knows what you mean. If you're gay, you're gay, right? If you're queer, queer.
No, absolutely. You only become gay because you hear about it and decide it's a good idea. That's science.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's science.
Yep. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. I'm sure that's right. And also,
gay parents make gay children.
So anyone who's ashamed of their gay kids should stop being so gay themselves.
Probably.
Now, let me tell you, if you can't...
Actually, those gay kids probably got turned gay by like a scout leader or something.
That's terrible, Dylan.
Just saying.
If you can't do it drunk, you can't do it. This story from the Herald. An illegal rooftop party ended when a drunk student fell through a skylight into a Dunedin lawyer's office. I would say that this party was just getting started. But I bet a bunch of crybabies were like, we need police and an ambulance and you are bleeding terribly. And that probably would have ruined everything. But could have been a potential for a great night out. Senior Sergeant Brian Benn said four students were nabbed escaping to nearby Bath Street after an alarm had been triggered. in the Octagon building. And that alarm was triggered after a 19-year-old male fell through a skylight into the kitchen of Octagon Chambers. Sounds like something from Harry Potter, doesn't it? From Diagon Chambers. Next story. Hit and run accused fails to appear in court. What a fucking shock! This friggin' coward who hit a 5-year-old boy and left didn't have the courage to front up in court. I can't believe it, Dylan. I was sure he'd turn up. God damn it. Anyway, this reminded me of the time that we saw that little kid get hit by a car.
Yes, I just about forgotten about that.
That was a bad time.
And there it is again.
That was a bad time.
He was, what, 3 or 4?
I was sure we'd watch that kid die.
He did not.
He did not. He was fine. Little rubber kid. Bloody, what a lucky bloody kid. Tell you what. Man, I was sure I'd watch that kid die. God damn it.
I didn't see it happen. I thought I just heard it.
Oh, no, I mean when we ran up and I was talking to the kid on the ground, he completely stopped moving and I was pretty sure he'd stopped breathing. And then started moving again. That was a fucking relief, tell you what.
So Morgan and I witnessed a kid get hit by a car once.
Yeah. It was terrible. Good stuff. It's pretty terrible. We were on the news.
Were we?
Or maybe it was just me.
I don't think I was.
I was on fucking TV3 or something. The top 10, next story. Oh, it's really late.
It is. We should stop.
But I really want to do this story.
Do this one and then we go. This is like, if we haven't released another episode, you should, like, you as the listener should, like, ration this bit.
All right. Oh, God, I want to do two more stories. Fine. Top 10 notoriously bad tourists. Now, this is the worst countries for tourists.
Okay. Is this from BuzzFeed?
This is from Reddit.
All right. You may continue.
Well, it won't come as much of a surprise to anyone that New Zealand is not on the list of the 10 worst countries tourists. Number 10 is Brazil.
Oh, yeah. They're always smuggling things.
Because they're naughty. Apparently naughty. Number 8 is France. I find that a bit... I'm surprised by that. Rude and scandalous,
garlic,
apparently.
Garlic and onion smell.
Seems hard to believe. India, number 7. Just it doesn't say why they're badly behaved. Australia, number 5 on the list.
Not surprised at all.
Notoriously ill-behaved. From the drinking, really, isn't it, the Australians? I don't think that's really badly behaved. Anyway, the worst is the Americans. The stereotype goes that they're loud, rude, and fat, and dress badly. But it's actually not my experience. I find them mainly quiet and badly dressed and fat in New Zealand, but maybe some places, maybe in countries where they don't speak the language, they're loud. I don't know, like the Brits.
No, they can be pretty loud. If you hang around like Parnell or downtown by the ferry building when there's a cruise ship in town.
Yeah.
Pretty loud Americans.
I think the worst is, I mean, I don't really know who the worst is, but I think that the Brits are probably the worst. Just based on the behavior in Europe, you know, around Spain and all around there, you know, they get pissed, they get burned, they only eat chips.
Well, oh my God. Do you know
I'm talking stereotypes, of course.
Do you know the Monty Python sketch?
No.
Oh, I've got to find it now. Anyway.
Let me guess, though.
No, it's all right. Just carry on.
Hello, I wish to register a complaint.
No.
Hello, miss. You're not going to play
it's a travel agent sketch.
I'm sorry, I have a cold. I wish to make a complaint. You're not going to play along.
I'm Alina.
You're not going to play along?
No.
What was that noise? That was you. Do you want me to play the Monty Python travel agent sketch?
That's probably really long.
Mount Everest.
It's 5 minutes long.
Aloof. Terrifying. The highest place on earth.
No, I'm sorry, we don't go there. No.
Good morning. Oh, good morning. Do you want to go upstairs? What?
Do you want to go upstairs? Or have you come to arrange a holiday?
To arrange a holiday.
Oh, sorry.
What's all this about going upstairs?
Oh, nothing.
Eric Idle looks so young.
India.
Ah, one of our adventure holidays.
Yes.
Well, you better speak to Mr. Bounder about that. Mr. Bounder, this gentleman is interested in the India Overland.
Ah, good morning. I'm Bounder of Adventure.
Morning. My name is Smoke Too Much.
What?
My name is Smoke Too Much. Mr. Smoke Too Much.
Well, you'd better cut down a bit then.
What?
You'd better cut down a bit then.
Oh, I see. I cut down a bit for Smoke Too Much.
Yes. I suppose you get people making jokes about your name all the time, eh?
No. Actually, it never struck me before. Smoke Too Much.
Yeah. Last story. Electronic Arts, I hate them. But you've heard of the Humble Bundle.
No.
You haven't heard of the Humble Bundle. So last weekend, is it still going? There's a Humble Origin Bundle. And actually, I think there might be. Is there another one? Oh, it's still going. It looks like it's still going. In fact, even when this podcast comes out, it will still be possible to buy the Humble Origin Bundle because there are 8 days from today. It closes, I guess, on about the 28th, approximately. And if you pay anything over $1, you get Dead Space, Burnout Paradise, Crisis 2, Mirror's Edge, Dead Space 3, and Medal of Honor. So $1 for all of those Electronic Arts games. If you pay over the average, which is $4.82, you also get Battlefield 3 and Sims 3 starter pack.
Wow.
So for $5, you get a couple of $100 worth of Electronic Arts games. And here's the best part. EA gets none of the money at all. They don't get a fucking cent. Because your money goes to charities like the Human Rights Campaign, the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, the Cancer Society, and the Red Cross. And a small amount also goes to the people that run the Humble Bundle thing to help them, you know, operate it. Now, one of the problems here is that for some of these games, you do have to use Origin, which is Electronic Arts' Steam competitor. But yep. You also get Steam codes for those games which you can have on Steam, which is cool because, you know, people who play games and are interested in this story, they have Steam. Everyone has Steam if they play PC games because you would have to be out of your mind not to. So amazing deal. And because as soon as I saw that, I mean, so you'd kind of have to be a bit of a muggins to pay much more than the average because, you know, you get all the games and then why would you pay more? Well, why you'd pay more is that it goes to charity. So you'd have to be an asshole not to pay more. And so even me, and I am a dickhead, even I paid more than the average. And I am a cheap-ass motherfucker. But here's the thing. Electronic Arts, I hate Electronic Arts. Just I want to be clear on that. Because after what they did with SimCity and so on, fuck them. But they have announced that the games that they publish on Origin can now be returned for a full refund for up to 7 days. For any reason.
Okay.
Say you're unsatisfied and you can return it. On Steam, get fucked.
Right.
We got your money, fuck you. And so basically unconditional right of return of a downloaded game that you probably got for quite cheap anyway. And I think this is a great move. Good work, EA. I still fucking hate you. But yeah, so, the Humble Bundle, humblebundle.com. Go on.
They'd sold just under 2 million when I was looking.
Yeah.
At an average, apparently, of like $4.58 or something.
Yeah.
They've raised $7.5 million.
Yeah. Cool, right? For those charities. Really cool. So you get cool games like Mirror's Edge, which is great fun. And, you know, a bunch of games which are not so good, like Dead Space. Boring. It's not boring, it's just dated and the controls are horrible. But Mirror's Edge is probably worth it by itself if you haven't already got it. It's good fun, that game.
I have no games at all.
That's probably better. Sometimes I wish I never played games because it's very unproductive time. It's time I really enjoy spending, but I regret it. I feel ashamed of myself.
Well, I actually have, for once, a positive PayPal balance.
Oh, yeah.
So I've just spent it all on those games.
Wow. Well, I hope you have fun. Mirror's Edge, I think, is the pick of that lot. Crysis probably will make your laptop melt.
Yeah, none of them will play on my desktop.
Medal of Honor is fun as well, but it's short, you know. Yeah, it's short. Mirror's Edge, it's also short, but it's just, it's a good game, Mirror's Edge. It's just good because it's different. It's, yeah, it's fun. You'll see when you play it. That's it. Maybe we'll do a show next week. Maybe you will do a show and I won't be involved. Or maybe there won't be a show for like a month or so. But, maybe. You know, in any case, I hope everyone has a really good time and is nice to people and treats everyone like a human. That's
fingers
it.
Crossed.
Fish and chips, fish and chips, fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.